like a baseball day out here. Still some clouds above, but the field is gorgeous. They took the tarp off. The infield looks clean. I look to my left, and there's a picture. And Larry Bear is going to join us in a second. There's Gabe Kapler. There's Farhan. Is that Dave? I assume that's Dave Roberts.
Doc, otherwise known as Doc.
And
right,
a few
Marty?
Of the Dodgers just hobnobbing away here. And I said to myself, well, I wish Frank Robinson was here today. He wouldn't put up with that.
This would be against the Frank Robinson rule and against a lot of the old school rules of no fraternizing. And now, do you think Frank would have allowed it? By the way, good morning.
Larry Bear with us. I'm thrilled to have you here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It was going to be the morning, but now it is the afternoon. And we are going to play today.
We lost our morning. No, we're going to play, which is going to be great. We'll have John and Dwayne and the Sounds of Baseball. Do you think Frank would have been okay with fraternizing during spring training?
No.
Or you think, nothing ever... No fraternizing ever.
Nope. But you could go out to dinner, you could go to someone's house, but once you got to the ball field, I'm against you, and I'm going to beat you. And look, I grew up with that. That was Frank Robinson. Well, today it's a different story.
Well, the guys on the field at one point, just to give them a little bit of air cover here, they were all under one roof once upon a time, and that's Dave Roberts, Andrew Friedman, Gabe Kapler, and Farhan Zaidi.
And thank goodness Kai Correa has come over to tell Kapler, would you get out of there and come back and deal with your team, please? They'd like to see you. And now it's really, Kai is telling them that Kapler's going to go with him. And this is live on the radio.
You're doing the play-by-play of this pregame fraternizing.
Breaking up this meeting. Kapler, go back to your team, okay? Stop it.
Well, I guess Scott Harris of the Giants is holding down the fort in the front office while they're... I don't think that's not Scott on the field, is it? I don't think so.
No, the Dodgers are going back to their corner, okay, and now Kai Correa has got Farhan and Kapler and walking them back to where he should be.
Well, this is serious stuff, you know. We've got a.
Look, I've been here since 7:30 this morning.
You know, it's funny because we really appreciate. There's been going to be a great turnout today for a game in late February. Not even that late February, right?
What do you think about starting everything so early? Season starts March 26th.
You know, Marty. By the way, it's great being on with you on our annual first broadcast pregame. You know, here's the thing is you can't have it both ways or always, right? So you have a situation where if you go back to the traditional, if you did the April starts, then you're really moving everything into November for the postseason, for the World Series. And that is just gets so tough with weather in open air ballparks in the East. So to be able to preserve a postseason where you can have, you know, decent weather for the Jewels, you get into really trying to do it in late March. One thing that also sort of triggered that move was the fact that in the new collective bargaining agreement, the one we're in right now, you have the same number of games, 162, but you have them spaced over larger number of days. Yeah. Okay, so I think it's 162.
It used to be 180.
It used to be 180. I think it's 183 or 184, whatever. So that required moving it. So, look, I think that, you know, if you can get the warm weather cities, which you don't, you're not going to be able to be perfect on that score. But, you know, we open in L.A. We have games in San Francisco as early as April 3rd. That's our opener against the Dodgers that weekend, April 3, 4, 5, which will be a lot of fun. Then in decent weather towns, I think you're fine. It won't be 100% that way, and domes as well, if you can get the games early. It's funny. I was talking to the president of the Minnesota Twins the other day. Because we're going to Target Field for the first time, for crying out loud, in the first week of May. And he said, you know, it could be a little sketchy, even in the first week of May in Minneapolis. It's, you know, he says, we're hoping for 60 degrees, but you can dip into the 40s in Minneapolis, even in the very beginning of May.
What do you expect the fan reaction will be to the new Giants, Gabe Kapler, and getting the season off? You know, by the way, Thursday night is Mardi Gras at Original Joe's.
Don't forget that. We're going to try to get there.
You better commit early. It's sold out already. And, you know, I'm going to have to take part of the second room as well.
I'll just have a table out in the bleachers.
All right. We'll make room for you. But, no, seriously, what do you think the attitude is? Because not a lot happened over the winter. But now that we're down here, we've seen what you coined as the next generation, next gen. I think you use those words. And we actually are seeing it, and there is some excitement and enthusiasm, kind of wiping away a little bit of the negativity of the last couple of years. So how do you think the fan base is going
to
react?
Look, I think the fans, and it's really up to us to articulate it, but I think the fans are starting to see what we're doing, what Farhan and Scott and Gabe are about, which is getting – we got to get younger to marry our the players, especially the position players, with, you know, a veteran – still a veteran team. I mean, you look around the infield and you got Buster and you have – Craw at shortstop, and you have Brandon Belt at first, and you have Evan Longoria at third. And so how do you marry the two? And it's going to be with young players. It's going to be injecting youth at the right point, and it's up to Farhan to curate that. Now, a lot of our real strong players are coming, right, in the – you know, the guys that were the first round picks. That
so Joey Bart.
Joey Bart and Luciano, and Brian Sabian told me that he sees Luciano, as one of the you know, probably, you know, top three, four guys he's seen in 20 years, 25
really?
Years, yeah.
Wow.
As a scout, Luciano, and, you know, when you're looking at Ramos, you look at Jelly and some of the pitching
Bishop.
So and Bishop Hunter Bishop. Local guys. So this year we've got to try to get some of the guys that we really feel are, you know, strongly about, like you know, Dubon and some of those guys to
so the pitchers,
into
the Beedie and Webb.
Yeah. Beedie and Webb and you know, and so, you know, Jalen Davis, there's a lot of high hopes for him. You know, Yaz has a chance to really, you know, continue where he started last year with us. Dickerson, you know, high hopes if he can stay healthy that he can have a big breakout type of year. So I think the fans, I mean, the answer to your question is the fans have been really pretty hopeful about it and have been good. You know, we go to Fan Fest and we go to season ticket holder meetings and things, and it's up to us to articulate what the plan is. And what I just said is the plan, which is to you know, merge our, you know, our veterans, and, you know, we have veterans on the pitching staff too, like Cueto and Samardzija and Tony Watson, and to merge the two so that, you know, when you blink your eyes, we'd like this to be a year like 2009 or better. And 2009 was the platform year, as you remember, for a lot of success.
The big difference for me in being down here, it's really been an eye-opener for me, is just to watch the coaching staff. I mean, you know, there are 14 coaches, and I'll put the professor in there as well. You know, being the third base coach, Ron Wotus, but to have this many coaches, you know, three pitching coaches, three hitting coaches, Kai, who does all the drills, is the bench coach. That, to me, is the biggest difference, to see them working together every day. Because, look, this is a major league season of 162 in 6 months. Can you be this intense for 6 or 8 months? But what they bring to the table is the new way of coaching in the major leagues. So when you get to the big leagues, you may not know everything about being a big leaguer, but we'll teach you as long as you have the tools, and that's what I see with this group.
Well, it was interesting. I was talking to Gabe the other day, and the whole thing really is, you know, it doesn't have to be the way it's always been, where you have one hitting coach, and then the assistant hitting coach defers to the one hitting coach, and this is the way we're going to do it, versus – I think what's happened with Farhan and Scott is they've curated the coaches where you have three hitting coaches, but they all have different strengths and they're young. Some of them, you know, both on the pitching and hitting side, you have the more analytics focused approach. Then you have also just more of a mechanics focused approach that isn't tied to analytics. And the three of them come together and you try to get the best of everybody of all the disciplines. Mm-hmm. And so that's different.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're different in San Francisco. We've been different in a lot of things through culture and life. And we had such an amazing 25, 26 years under one, it wasn't so much one approach, but one group. And, you know, it's up to us and the ownership to figure out what's the next best practice for the 20s.
Well, this is what's happening.
2020s.
This is what is happening all over baseball. The Giants now have jumped in with both feet and even taken a lead by the coaching staff and just the approach. All right.
You know, and Alyssa Knocken, and I mean, you know, it's just, and there's a lot. I'll just give you one example in the front office, because it's not just on the field. In the front office, we have a guy, Colin Cahill. I don't know if you met him yet. Yeah. He's the head of wellness. And if you look at it, Marty, this is not a new thought, but it's but I'm not sure a lot of teams have put resources against it. You would in today's world, you got to keep the players healthy. Go back to 2012 when we won in 2012, 162 games, 159 of the starts were taken by the five guys in the rotation. You know, Kane and Lincecum and Zito and Vogie, et cetera. So wellness is critical. So what are the best practices? And not best practices just in terms of, you know, what you do with in terms of stretching and everything, but eating and sleeping and travel. I mean, really intense focus on that to keep guys healthy.
Let's talk a little bit of baseball. How does Manfred get out of this mess that, that baseball has sort of opened up here? What do we, what happens?
Well, I think, you know, look, everybody knows we have the he has delivering a report on the Red Sox, whatever the results of the investigation.
Week.
I think that will be in the next week, probably this, you know, in the next 7 days or so. Look, it's just it's terribly unfortunate. And it's we all love the game, and we all have been used to growing up with the game being played the right way and being played with you know within the rules. And there was clearly a violation in Houston. There was clearly worth investigating Boston. I don't want to say because I baseball's really covering it tooth and comb. I just think what we've got to have, Marty, is be clear with the fans, be clear with all the constituencies around baseball that the game's going to be played in a fair way. And in 2017, at least in Houston, with Astros games, it wasn't. So we had a conference call. There were a number of calls with MLB. And there's going to be very clear rules about the use of video. They haven't been completely put forward yet because I think working with the Players Association and others to get the rule specific and precise. But we are going to have no ambiguity about what you can and can't do during a game. And we're going to communicate that to the fans. And I think that, you know, any lingering doubt as to whether there's cheating going on will be removed.
Well, the fans want some action on the Houston Astros in 2017 because it wasn't just cheating. In the cheating world of today, it becomes magnified 5 billion times. It's not like it was in 1951 if the Giants were doing something in those days. It was kind of part of the culture. Yep. But they want censure. They want something. And when 2017 is in the list of World Series champions, it says, well, they are censured, so people know that forever. And I think maybe baseball has to break precedent. They've never done this before. Maybe that has to happen just to put this to rest.
I think it should be considered. I know Buster Olney had that. Yeah. Could be or can be considered. I do think that, you know, in everybody's mind, I mean, it's so out there, not just now, but it will live in people's minds that whether you do the formal act or not, people know what happened. And it won't be, you know, it's something we will hand down to generations about the 2017 that there was a taint to the 2017 championship. The problem, I think, is, you know, measuring it. And a censure is one step, probably in the right direction versus if you take away the title, I just don't know how you do that.
I don't think you can. It involves
really
too many. It involves too many people, too many things that happen in an organization. I don't think you can do it. But censure is words.
Yeah.
And I think that's
matter.
And I think yes, they do. And I think that things have to be tied up. So that's my feeling.
No,
on that.
And I think that there would be an openness to that. I just don't know. With the commissioner, I think the most important thing now for the commissioner's office is to, complete the Red Sox investigation, complete any other investigations that could be going on, and get the fans, ready for the season with the confidence that there's not going to be any sort of violations or any sort of ambiguity as to what you can and can't do.
Well, Paul White was on with us earlier. We'll finish with this one. He said the Astros are going to be like a wrestling villain. You know, and everyone's going to be pointing at them, and they're going to go out and win a bunch of games and say, you know, the villain does it. And look, we love the stories of baseball. It's a story.
It's a story. I'll say this.
Go ahead.
Trying to find some positive in all of this is they couldn't have brought a better person in to manage in a very challenging environment than Dusty.
Good for him.
And we were really, because, you know, Dusty was working for us the last two years. And the Astros contacted us. They had to contact us just for permission, right, because he was a Giants employee. And obviously we gave the permission, gave a green light, a glowing green light. And it just kind of computed in my head that, wow, if you were to find one person that could connect with the players, connect with the media, connect with the fan base in a way to start to repair the damage, nobody better than Dusty. And we saw his excellence for a decade in San Francisco.
Dusty's a very special person in the world, and I've said this to him, it was Jackie Robinson, to Frank, to Dusty.
Yes.
And very important part in social history. I hope he wins, and I hope he gets 2,000 wins, and I hope he gets in the Hall of Fame.
I do, too, and it's great to have him back on the field in uniform.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, for us, I mean, people might say, well, then why didn't you hire Dusty? I mean, look, I think that Dusty wants to do a few, one, two, three more years, I don't know, but, you know, we were looking for somebody that might be around for 10, 15 years.
He needed another job on the field after the Washington thing.
I agree, because
he did well in Washington.
Won 97 games, for
crying out loud. And he got into who knows what Lerner wanted to do, blah, 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 but he needed one more time on the field.
He did, and I'm really happy for him, and I will volunteer to send him the box scores if he's in the dugout of Darren's games at Cal.
I want him to send me the extra food that he doesn't eat, because the guy never saw a guy get better food than this guy. He gets it from everywhere.
Everybody
Larry,
loves Dusty.
Thanks for being
all
there.
All right. It's great, Marty. Let's have a good year.
I'm not doing the post games. You know that.
I know it. So I'm going to sit
with you during the game. See, that's what I'm going to do.
That'll
now.
Be fun. We
Last
can,
time
we can
I
hang
did
out.
That, we almost had the perfect game with Petit.
I do remember that.
Remember that?
Well, look, you're such a wonderful part of our family here, and it's so great having you on all the pre-games, and you'll be on with the professor and with all your cast and with Bruce and everybody, windows on the world and windows into baseball, right?
Yeah.
And what we're really looking forward to is just a lot of fun this year.
Yeah.
And please give us the mosaic, will you?
Well, the tiles are out there. We have to see what the picture looks like. All right,
thanks, Marty.
Thanks so much. All right, more coming up. We'll say goodbye quickly right after this.